Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity for us to gather together around the Word of God. We give you praise and glory. We thank you because the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask, Lord, that you cause that light to shine into our hearts this morning. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. Give you all the praise. All the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's talk about more on generational blessings from fathers to children. We want to talk about it from the Lord's perspective today. This should bless everybody because we are all God's children. But more importantly, we will also, you know, have a word for fathers, fathers in the flesh. Let's talk about our spiritual father today, and you know how that, you know, the blessings that Christ inherited also, you know, pass on to us as God's children. I want to talk about, you know, yesterday we talked a little bit about, actually quite a bit about how generations, you know, blessing of God passes through generations. Well, today I'll talk a little bit about the generation of Jesus Christ, you know, and how the blessings from God through Jesus Christ pass on to us, you know, and we being his children. I'll talk about that. Praise the Lord. Now, in the past, the olden days, in the days of, you know, Israel as a nation before the Lord, you know, God dealt with them, you know, in their generations and so forth. And a lot of things God spoke to them and wanted to deal with them like that as a group, but called out people. They were not always obedient. Sometimes they were rebellious. But yet, you know, the mercy of God reached out to them, you know, as a, you know, from in their generations. And throughout their, even the journeys that they had, you know, from the children, I mean, from the land of Egypt, that God would have brought the entire group, all that generation, would have brought them into the promised land. They missed it because of their stiff-neckedness. The Lord called them out. And sometimes, you know, even being flat-out rebellious. And so, well, the Lord actually rejected them, that generation that came out of the land of Egypt, rejected them. But the younger ones, he received and gave them opportunity to enter the promised land. You know, whenever there is a promise given by God, there must of necessity some people be there to claim it. So if one group doesn't get it, yeah, another will get it. But if it's promised, well, Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle will pass away. So if anything is promised, then that means that, it, you know, that promise must come to pass. Whether the first generation that received that promise will get it or not, that's a different thing. But one way or another, the promises of God will come to pass. Praise the Lord. There is a promise that I want to allude to briefly today in the generation of Jesus Christ, in the sonship, in the priesthood, and different things. Well, let's talk about a commandment that God gave to Aaron and his sons. You know, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here in Exodus 40. He said, and thou shalt bring, this is Exodus 40 and verse 12. Thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. And so we see that it wasn't just Aaron. It was Aaron and his sons. Again, I'm highlighting, you know, the generation blessing, you know, that God put in place. First, it was Aaron, but it wasn't Aaron alone. It was Aaron and his sons. Bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron first, you know, the holy garments, and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Well, okay, so Aaron was set apart. But after Aaron, he did not end there. And he said, and thou shalt bring his sons also, and clothe them also with coats. Thou shalt anoint them also, as thou didst anoint their father. I want to underscore that today. Anoint Aaron. Okay. Put him in the office of the priesthood. Then bring his sons. Anoint them also, like you anointed the father. And clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they also may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. You know, so, and thus did Moses according to all that the Lord God commanded him, so did he. Now, you can see how God set this thing in motion, this priesthood that he ordained among the children of Israel. He picked, you know, that one tribe. Later on, you know, one of his sons, Levi, and so forth. Aaron, you know, started out, you know, see how God said, well, bring Aaron in, anoint him, set him apart. Then bring his sons after him, anoint them and set them apart. Even as you anointed their father, so anoint you their son. I mean, his sons. So this is the message that I want to continue today. There's something that God passes from the father to the sons, even the anointing, you know, but whether or not the sons will continue in that. We talked about that yesterday in the case of David and Solomon. Now, David charged Solomon to follow the ways of the Lord, walk in the ways of the Lord. And he did for a while until he started to marry strange women. And from there on, his heart was drawn out to their gods and their idols. And his heart was not perfect before the Lord. And he lost something. He lost the kingdom. You know, and the kingdom was split, and there was trouble in his house, you know, from that point on. So, but we see that the promise actually did pass on from David to Solomon. Well, we won't talk about the spiritual priesthood here that passes on from even Aaron to his sons. But really, I want to talk about Christ. That's what I want to talk about today. But first, I have to lay a foundation. You know, because, you know, the things that God does, even the spiritual things, you know, some of them are taught to us even by natural things. You know, God uses the natural things to teach us spiritual things. So, when we see what God did in the natural, even the Lord used the building of a natural temple, I mean, and the tabernacle and all of that to explain a lot of spiritual things. And God will always use that pattern. You know, so in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right? I want to read something to us, a very fundamental principle that I want to share in today's lesson. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, this is where Paul is arguing about the resurrection. Because some people say, well, there's no resurrection. You die, that's it. You know, so Paul was arguing the resurrection, this whole chapter, powerful and beautiful stuff. It's talking about, well, if indeed, let's assume it was true that there was no resurrection, then you are all still dead in your sins, because it is by the resurrection of Christ that we were justified. And he laid a beautiful argument. And he said many things in this chapter. You know, however, the one that I want to go to, the area I want to go through is, you know, the, just a few verses here. It talks about the resurrection of the dead. You know, the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. This is verse 42 of 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. That's like the resurrection. You know, put a natural body in the grave, but something that comes out of it, it's a spiritual thing. You know, okay, so he said, well, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Everybody should understand that. And so it is written, that first man, Adam, was a living soul. I mean, Genesis 2 and 7, God made him a living soul. You know, this second Adam, or the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. How be it? Now, this is where I'm going. That was not first, which is spiritual. So the spiritual didn't come first in this case. But that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. So God puts out a natural pattern first to help us understand the spiritual that's coming. So first, he said, the first man was of the earth, earthy and natural. The second man is the Lord from heaven, spiritual. Now remember yesterday we titled it Spiritual Heritage. And this is a continuation of it from the Lord's perspective now. We're turning from the Adamic line to the spiritual line of Jesus Christ. Christ is the second man, he said. The first man is of the earth. He was earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are they that are earthy. So all the lineage from Adam of the earth. Now, but the lineage from Christ, yeah, heavenly. You know, so everything that came from the first man was earthly, because he was earthly. Everything that comes from the second man, Christ, is heavenly, because he is heavenly. Let's think about that for a bit. What does that mean in context to us? Well, we're going to talk about that in this lesson today. Fast forward to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This gives you a background for where, you know, we cut the line, the umbilical cord, so to speak, from Adam. We cut it. And something new happens in Christ Jesus. We were joined from the beginning to the sin nature. That's that umbilical cord of the sin nature. And if any man comes into Christ, as we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, when any man comes into Christ, God cuts that umbilical cord that attached you to the sin nature, cuts it off. You're not attached to Christ. You're joined to Christ now as one spirit. And here's how Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 describes it. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Not after the Adamic line now, but a new creation, starting with Christ. See? Now, created in Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus is the beginning, so to speak, of this new creation. Well, which is why in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, you know, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus gave a message or messages to John to send to the churches. And he had a message for each one. Praise the Lord. Now, for this particular last church called the Laodicean church, you know, here's how Jesus introduced himself. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Right. This is Revelation 3 and verse 14. And he had many ways to introduce himself to all those churches. And you come down to it. And if you look at those churches prophetically as church ages, you know, and see how the characteristics flows down through the time, there were literally churches that existed at that time, but God picked them because there were some characteristics that aligned to the different phases in church history. Now, this last church called the Laodicean church, well, here's how Jesus introduced it. These things saith the Amen. Amen, right? It's like it's going to finish things up. The faithful and true witness. Now listen to this strange text of what Jesus will say about himself. Strange. He said, the beginning of the creation of God. We know that Jesus was not created. You know, he's going forth have been from of old. But what does he mean, the beginning of the creation? Well, it actually means the source is the, you know, source, and everything else, these last creation is, they are the offspring of him. And we start something new, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus. He is the start of it and something new after that. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 helps to explain it more. You know, what we are bringing out here may be a little bit deep, but I'm trying to bring it out in simple terms to help us understand it. You know, he says that for whom he did foreknow, it's Romans 8, 29, God's foreknowledge was in place before anything else. He also did predestinate. He predestinated them that they will be conformed to the image of his son. So the son of God, which is Christ, was the blueprint. And God predetermined that all these others that would be in Christ, right, created in him, they will become like him. You know, he predestinated them, predetermined their end state. That's what predestinate means. Destination is where you're going. Well, if you know that destination ahead of time, well, you predetermine where you're going. And, you know, God predestinated that these people who are coming in Christ will become like Christ. You know, that he, the reason for that is that he might be the firstborn. See, so that's the beginning of the creation of God, this new creation. Christ will be the firstborn among many brethren. But God must deal with them as like that. I and the children that God has given me. That was Christ speaking in Isaiah 8 and 18. I and the children God has given me are for signs and wonders. Well, Romans 8, 29 is talking about I here being the Christ and the children that God has given, being the sons of God after him, together are for signs and wonders. They will be just like the Christ. And those whom he did predestinate, he also called them. And when he called them, he justified them by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And whom he justified, finally, He glorified them. They become like Christ. That's the glorification. You know, when we become like Christ, that's the glorification. And Jesus said in John 17, praying before he left the earth, the glory, verse 22 of John 17, that you have given me, that I had with you before the world began, have also given to them. That's the glorification, finally. So, these lineage, my goodness, you mean there can be a lineage like Christ and some things can pass from the Father to Christ and to us? Well, absolutely. Now, yesterday we spoke about the natural. Because first, we have to do the natural before the spiritual. So first we talked about natural fathers to the children. How the blessing passed from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob to the patriarchs. And down through the ages, eventually, David was selected. And how the blessing also passed from David to Solomon, etc. But let's talk about the generation of Jesus Christ, which is the one that's of interest to us. You know, the generation of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is of interest to me only to set a pattern so I can understand that, you know. But I have a different interest. This is the interest that we have. Let's jump to the book of Matthew, which begins the canon of the New Testament, so to speak. Let's read where he starts. The very first sentence of this very first book of this New Testament compilation. That's how it starts out. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Now, you know, see how it skipped everybody else? Just pick David out. You know, so pick David, pick Jesus, and whoever else after that. Let's find out who's after that. Now, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So let's look at it this way. There were many, 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 many generations between Abraham and David. But God, in this text, he just highlighted Abraham, done away with Adam. Adam didn't do the job. You know, so if son picked Abraham, said, I'm going to put a blessing in you and all the nations will be blessed through you. So starting from Abraham, we read that yesterday, skipped everybody else, jumped over them to David, jumped over everybody else, jumped to Jesus. Let's see then. Abraham begat Isaac. This is the story. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Let's read it here in Matthew chapter 1. Abraham, starts with Abraham, not Adam. Starts with Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And, you know, God handpicked Judah even out of that group. Judah was not the first, but God handpicked Judah. There's a way that God does these things. Pick one of them one by one. Now, Judas begat this one, and that one begat this one, and so on and so forth. And as you begin to read, you go down to, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. You might know the story of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. Now, this Jesse was the father of David. Now, Jesse himself had many sons. In fact, 8. Just like Jacob had many sons, but it was Judah that was picked. He wasn't the first. It was Reuben and all this other people. But God picked Judah. Now, God, in the case of Jesse, did not pick Eliab and all the other 7 before David. He picked David, who was the last of 8 children. And so we just traced down the ones that God picked. For whatever reasons best known to him, those are the ones that he picked. Well, and Jesse begat David. We're not talking about Eliab now. We're not talking about all the other seven that paraded themselves before Samuel. God said, I didn't choose them. I rejected them. I chose David. Now, from David then, we see David was the king. He's called David the king. And David the king begat Solomon. And this Solomon, despite all his failures, was still a chosen person in the lineage. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and so forth and so on. And we go down to all of these comings and begettings and so on and so forth. Finally, we read, there was another Jacob. You know, in the Jewish culture, they always name people by names in the past. So now you might see Jacob and see Jacob against Joseph and Joseph again and so on and so forth. In fact, when Zacharias was told to name his son John by the angel, and he named him John, people argue with him. There's nobody called John in your generation, because their culture was you use some name that has been used before. You know, so yeah, you will see many of these names repeat themselves. You know, you have to figure out which one you're talking about. Jacob occurred many times here. You know, so there was another Jacob, you know, down the line, who was the father of Joseph, who was the father of Mary. You know, and now Mary could not be used because the generations were men. So the closest thing was Joseph, out of whose house Jesus grew. For they called him, is this not the son of the carpenter? Are there not his sisters and brothers here with us? He was not the son of the carpenter. He grew up in his house nonetheless. So, you know, he was associated with the house of Joseph. Joseph's father was a man called Jacob, not the other Jacob that you all know very well, but this other Jacob. And, you know, this Jacob became the husband of Mary, of whom was born the Christ. So even though Jesus was not the seed of a man, he was the seed of a woman, well, they still had to trace the lineage to the man. That's how significant the man is. And the closest person to that, in the case of Mary, was her husband. You know, because she was married to that. Of course, we know the birth of the child was before she came in sexual intimacy with Joseph. He refrained himself from her until her first child was born. Nevertheless, he's associated with that lineage. Now, so here's where I'm going. In verse 17 of Matthew chapter 1, see how God pared this thing down. So all the generations from Abraham, if you can go here and count it, I've counted it before. All the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the Kineway in Babylon are 14 generations. Well, and from the Kineway Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. There's a reason why God put all these things there. Someday I might go deeper into the reason. But I want to bring out some points today, so I won't dwell too much on this today. But suffice that you can see this trend. Well, after Jesus, that's it. There is no more genealogy after Jesus. That's it. Next after Jesus are the sons of God. That's it. And Jesus wasn't married to anybody. He will eventually be married to the church, but the sons of God will come even before that. So, Jesus is the end of that lineage. But, even though he was the end of that lineage, physically, he was the start of a spiritual lineage. Because first, the natural, then second after that comes the spiritual. So, yesterday we described the natural passing of blessings from fathers to children Today, we will talk about the spiritual passing of blessings from spiritual to spiritual. Spiritual father to spiritual children. I alluded to that briefly yesterday in my prayer at the end of the room when I said I'll be praying for my spiritual children. Well, let's talk about the great one. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, calls him, this Christ, calls him the everlasting Father. So Christ, we know him as Savior. Christ, we know him as Lord. Christ, we know him as Redeemer. Christ, we know him as, you know, the Good Shepherd. I mean, all these things we know Christ about. Well, let's talk about Christ as the everlasting Father. That confuses many people. How in the world can the Son be the Father? Well, you know, that's not for you to figure out. That's for you to believe, you know, because the scripture says it so. If you believe it, then you begin to understand it. But if you try to figure it out first, you know, the Bible says, he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. Hebrews 11 and 6. First you believe it, then God will reveal it to you. But if you try to decipher it, well, you can never get it. So, let's talk about Jesus as the everlasting Father. Who is Father means source. It means the beginning of something. That's what fathering means. So, Jesus as the beginning of the creation of God, Revelation 3:14. Let's talk about it. What is this creation? That's the generation of Jesus Christ. You know, Adam has his generation. Everybody had their generations. Even Abraham had his generation, passed on to Isaac. Isaac had his, passed on to Jacob. Jacob passed on to many. But God handpicked Judah out of all the patriarchs that, you know, Jacob had. He had 12 sons to start with. He annexed some others, two sons from Joseph. He dropped one tribe here and there, and God was dealing with them as 12. But at the end of the day, when you come to the genealogy of Christ, God only picked up the natural. God only picked out Judah out of all of them. So it is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. The Lion of Judah. That's why Jesus is called that. Not Reuben, not all these other ones. So at the end now we see Christ. Let's talk about him as Father. Because Isaiah 9:6 calls him everlasting Father. Well, if he's the Father, what then can he pass on to his children? You know, seeing that fathers can pass on things to their children. We read that, discussed that yesterday. Well, the first thing that Christ can pass on to his children, remember, I and the children that God has given me for signs and wonders. First thing that he can pass on, which he did to his children, is his nature. Yeah. That's what a father does. His DNA is passed on to the child. So Jesus' DNA, given to us by the Holy Spirit, causes us to break the umbilical cord of being attached to the sin nature and now born into his family. Now, that's the first heritage that we get from Christ. Now, you know, so Romans chapter 8 tells us that if you do not have that link, well, you are none of Christ. Because the only link that you have then is still the umbilical cord that ties you to the Adamic line. And that's all that you have, you know. Now, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, right, dwell in you, Romans 8:11, well, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit which dwelleth in. Quicken means make alive. Cut you off, that umbilical cord kills us, makes us dead. We were dead in sins and trespasses. umbilical cord that ties us to the Adamic nature is what makes us dead. Now, to come alive in Christ, that umbilical cord must be cut. Cut that off and come into new life. Now, you know, it is important that if we have that Spirit of God, then it brings us into newness of life. So it will quicken your mortal body. It will change something. Get you away from the deadness into newness of life. Yeah. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he is, you know, none of his. Well, because it is that Spirit that joins you to Christ. Until you get that, you only have the nature of Adam, but you don't have the nature of Christ. So let's read it. In the same Romans chapter 8, I will read it now from verse 9 to 11. You know, it's talking about, from the beginning of this chapter, it talks about no condemnation to those who are now in Christ Jesus. No more. Now, talks about separating the carnal mind away from the things of the Spirit. The carnal mind, he said, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, he said. So then they that are in the flesh, right, verse 8, they cannot please God, because they are still carnal, they are still attached to the umbilical cord from Adam. They cannot please God. But ye are not in this flesh. If so be that the Spirit, see, of God dwells in you. But now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. So you can see the trend. Separation from, you know, the carnal mind, break that umbilical cord, come into Christ, receive the Spirit of God, be a part of his generation. Become one of those that he said, I and the children that you have given me. Now, you become one of that. There's blessings that pass on. Some people, you know, people sing the blessing of Abraham. Well, you better sing the blessing of Christ. The blessing of Christ, which God blessed him. And we'll talk more about that, you know, in a bit. This blessing is really everything. I mean, there was something that God was giving away. The very inheritance that God prepared, he was giving it away. But everybody fell short. Adam fell short. Romans 3:23. Saying, Adam has sinned and falling short of the inheritance, which was the glory of God. Fell short of it. That inheritance was the glory of God. Adam fell short of it. Well, Christ said in the book of John 17, verse 22, this glory that I had with you from the beginning, from which Adam fell, now I restored it unto them. So that inheritance coming back to us through Christ. Now, you say, well, how did he get it? Well, his father gave it to him. Luke chapter 22, we read how that Jesus conferred upon us what he himself got from the Father. In that place, you read it also in the prayer of John 17. You read it. In Luke 22, Jesus said in verse 29, I appoint unto you the kingdom that God has appointed unto me. I appoint it unto you. I give it unto you. Praise God. The glory Now, this one is even better. Now, we use this verse when we talk about kingdom. It's all the same thing. But now that we're talking about glory, I want to use this one in John 17. They're all the same thing. The glory is in the kingdom. In John 17, 22, he said, look, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Hallelujah. So he passed on from the Father to Christ. Now Christ in his own right now becomes a father of his own. Just like every man. Say you must leave your father and mother and start your own fatherhood somewhere else. Every man must leave his father and mother and cling to his own wife and start his own lineage. Well, Christ, well, he didn't really leave, but, you know, God appointed that in him should all the blessings come together. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 tells you, in Christ, all the families, whether they are heaven, in heaven or in earth or anywhere else, come together in Christ. You know, God also, while he was on the cross, Christ was on the cross, he broke down the wall of partition and brought everything together. Praise God. Now, God had ordained this before in Christ, that this will be the case, you know, which is why the scripture says unto us, you know, that in Christ, you know, is where everything will happen together. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, it says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, like where we are now, we're now at the end of the age, Christ reintroduces himself at the beginning of the creation of God to the Laodicean church, and something's starting. He said, well, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, God will gather together all things in Christ. That's right. Christ now becomes the spiritual father of everything. You know, it's called the everlasting father. Whether they are in heaven or in earth, even in him, in whom also we have been, you know, obtained an inheritance. This is the inheritance I'm talking about. You know, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to his own counsel, that we should be like Christ. You know, that's Romans 8:29. That's the predestination. God ordained it, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We inherit this glory. Hallelujah. Because we trusted in Christ. Glory to God. And whom you also trusted, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's after the breaking off of the old umbilical cord that attached us to sin, but now attached to Christ. Praise God. Now, the Holy Spirit is the proof or down payment of the fullness of that glory. The earnest of that inheritance, which is the glory. I've been talking more about that inheritance being the glory. The inheritance until everything is finally brought in. Purchased possession. Brought in. Jesus purchased it with his own blood. Unto the praise of his own glory. So, Jesus said, I've given you that glory. Now, that's the thing that Jesus passes. The father must pass a blessing to the children. The father must lay up for the children, not the other way around. Well, Jesus laid up a lot of things for us. And the greatest of them all is his glory that he laid us. Revelation 3:21. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, I am set with my father in his throne. Yeah, so Jesus is going to give you everything. Just like he got everything. He's going to share with us. That makes us what the Bible calls heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Well, joint heirs with Christ, because Christ got it first. And then he shared it with us. You know, that's the way he wants to be. Well, Romans chapter 8, you know, Let's read verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and this Spirit that we are talking about, they are the sons of God. That's how you determine who the sons of God are. They've been broken. I mean, they've broken that umbilical cord. They are now in Christ. They have the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit. They are called sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. And we're out of that. But we now receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we can call Abba. Abba is the source. Abba, Father. And Christ is called that everlasting Father. The Spirit also bearing witness within our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if you are children, listen to this. Then you are heirs. An heir is a child is an heir of the Father. Now, if you are heirs of God, then you are also joint heirs with Christ, because he was heir first before us. and we are not co-heirs, in which case we are sharing, we're divided up. You take, if there are 10 of you, you take 1/10 and the other one take 1/10. No, you are joint heirs. That means each person owns 100%. Praise the Lord. Different from co-heirs. So you're joint heirs. You jointly own it. Whatever Jesus owns, we own. Just the same. I got the throne, and we get the throne as well. In Revelation chapter 5, we see that nobody else was found worthy to take that book of inheritance. Jesus takes it. And, later on he said, well, I give it to you as well. Now, in Revelation, at the end of it all, in the book of Revelation 21, you can fast forward to almost the end of the chapter of the book, the Bible itself. You get to Revelation 21. We see Jesus still making this pronunciation. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, or inherit the throne of glory. And I will be his God. That's right. That's Jesus speaking. And he will be my son. I and the sons and children you have given me together. Something great that the Lord has planned for us. Everything in this earth that you can attain, it pales in comparison with this thing. That's why the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but God has prepared for those who will be the heirs of salvation, the heirs of this inheritance, of this glory. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So then, what is it that Christ passes on to us in his generation? I went through this slowly, putting all the pieces together so you can get it. Now that we understand it, what exactly do we get from being a child of God, being Christ-like? Well, first you get his nature. Glory to God. That nature passes from Christ to his entire generation. In the book of Psalms 24, even the psalmist piercing the veil in many of his writings were prophetic. He talked about the generation of them that seek him, that seek the Lord. Our generation, we're declaring that today. Psalm 24 verse 6 talks about the generation of them that seek him. Well, what are they? Well, 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a chosen generation. The generation of Jesus Christ. We are chosen in him before the world began. Ephesians 1 and 3. Chosen in him to be that chosen generation. Well, that chosen generation will be a royal priesthood. Royal means they are kingly, but they are also priests, just like Christ. Just like Aaron and his sons were anointed. First Aaron, then his sons after him. Just like you anointed their father, God told Moses, do the same for the sons. Well, how that God anointed Christ? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. With the Holy Ghost and with power. who went about doing good. Well, the same rule applies. First, the natural, Aaron and his sons. Now, the spiritual priesthood. The natural priesthood was Aaron and his sons. Now, the spiritual priesthood is Jesus Christ. First, anoint Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power. Then, anoint others just like him with the Holy Ghost and power. Be like him. Praise God. And we will be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, he said, you know, God has, I say, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, son, don't take that title lightly, because Christ was the first son of God, and others like him together, I and my sons that you have given me. So don't take the title of son of God lightly. The world doesn't know us because the world never knew him, you know. But now he said, behold, now are we the sons of God. We are the sons of God. You know, we are the children of God. Paul was saying in one place, say, look, in as much as you are the offspring of God, don't think of him as four-footed beasts and all these things. We are the children of the living God. Well, we are also this priesthood, a new priesthood, not Aaron and his sons, but a new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. I'll be talking about that. So, Christ obtained it, and then he passed it on to us. And what do we do as in this new priesthood? Are we here to offer sacrifice for sin, just like they used to do? Aaron and his sons, their role was to offer sacrifice for sin and so forth. Jesus did dealt away with that. He did it one time. He doesn't have to do it again because he has an unchangeable priesthood in that regard. But, okay. Then, what's our role then as priesthood if we can not to offer a sacrifice for sin like they used to? Well, it describes here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, our role as this royal priesthood is we will be showing forth his praises. The sacrifices of praise is what we are offering. Not for sin anymore. The umbilical cord of sin is gone, broken. We're now dealing with his glory and his praise, to the praise of his glory. This new priesthood is what God has given us to exercise ourselves in it and bring everything into alignment. This is what Christ has purchased for us and passed on to us from the Father to the children. Well, first, God anointed Christ, like Moses anointed Aaron, and then anointed his sons after him. Well, now God's anointing the sons of God after Christ. Praise God. And ladies and gentlemen, we've read the book of Acts. It was called the Acts of the Apostles. Well, welcome to the Acts of the Father through his sons. There's a new book of Acts being written called the Acts of the Father through his sons, or the Acts of the Sons of God. But mostly it's the Father working in us to do his own will. Praise God. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing. Said what the Father said, you know, believe me or else believe the very works. Don't you believe that the Father that is in me is the one that's doing these things? He told Philip. Same also, the same anointing that was upon Christ must be upon us as the sons. This is what he passed on to us. Now, you look at yourself and you say, well, you know, I'm not anything like Christ. Well, that's what you think. Because this scripture says exactly that. 1 John 3, you know, verse 3, he said, look, you know, it does not quite yet appear what we shall be. So, well, you know, I don't look anything like Christ. Maybe not yet. But we know that when he shall appear in his glory, we shall be like him. So the final state, the end state, that we will be like him in his glory. Jesus guaranteed it by praying that prayer and telling us, telling the Father about us, and the glory I had with you, I've given to them. Which, in the Old Testament, you know, this is the difference between what Jesus did versus the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and even when he was dealing with the children of Israel, he could not give them his glory, for they couldn't get it. In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, he says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. He will not give it to anybody. In the old, but that was then. This is now. Jesus, having now obtained it, in Revelation 5, we see he obtained it. He turned around and gave it. And God gave him permission to do it. He said, this commandment I have received of my Father, that of all that should come to me, I should give them this eternal life. Hallelujah. And I will raise them up at the last day. And this eternal life walking in you is the glory of God. And this is what we inherit from him now. And if there's anyone in this room that you are here today or later on you're listening in, and you have not inherited this eternal life, well, I invite you, come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you this life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6, he said, nobody can come in there except by me. But if you come unto me, hallelujah, I will make you new. All that come to Christ are new in him. The only way to do it is to be born again. Cut off that umbilical cord of sin. God does it. It's an operation that he does. You know, it does it in your heart. It changes us. Look, but it starts by our repentance. First John, we're told, he said, look, we're not saying that we've not sinned and so forth. Well, we're born in sin. We know that. But, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1, verse 9. Not only to forgive us, though, is to separate us from all unrighteousness. Cut that umbilical cord. Hallelujah. This is the generation of Christ. You know, Christ said, the devil and the prince of this world, the devil, who is the prince of this world, cometh and hath nothing in me. So will the sons of God at the end be able to declare the same. The devil cometh and hath nothing in me. Because now the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead is dwelling in us. He will also make us alive from our sins, who are dead in sins and trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 tells us that those of you, who are dead in sins and trespasses have now been raised up to sit together in Christ in heavenly places. Isn't that wonderful? He raised us up. You know, let me read it for you from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4, for his great love where he loved us even when we were dead in sins, he has now quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved and raised us up together. See, Christ is never going to be alone. He never wants to be alone. John 12:24, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, he abides alone. Jesus didn't want to be alone. I and the children. So now, together with him, sitting in heavenly places. Ha! Isn't that beautiful? This is the generation of Jesus Christ. This is the heritage that passed on from the Father to the children. Jesus, in this case, the everlasting Father, according to Isaiah 9:6, passing it on to us, his children. Now, there's no reason for any one of us anymore to act like we are not a child of God. You know, I said the other day that when we follow the ways of sin, that's not natural for a son of God. That's unnatural. You know, it is only natural for us to act like God. That's how we must act. Any other thing is unnatural. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, just like him. So, we are called to be saints in his nature now, the nature of Christ, the new creation. Glory to God. It starts with Christ. Adam couldn't do it. Christ did it. Glory to God. And when he did it, well, he brought all of us in with him as well. As many as turn to the Lord with all their heart. You turn your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I want in. Jesus said, you can't get in except you're born again. Say, well, I want in. Well, Jesus said, well, come then. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to cut that umbilical cord of sin away from you. Now you're attached to God by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is now leading you. Now you're called the Son of God. This is the heritage that we received from him, from the Father to the children. Well, I said that fathers should listen to this. Well, it should inspire you. You know, like we said yesterday, that what you have, you can give to your children. So make sure you have it first. You can't give what you don't have. So when we have this, we can give it. Jesus couldn't give what he didn't have. He had life in him. So this life was in him. He gave it to us as well. So now we have it. Praise the Lord. And Jesus wants even many more sons. Glory to God. And you are the agents that he has now commissioned, just like the Father commissioned Jesus. Jesus now commissioned us. He said in John 17 and 18, he prayed the Father, I pray, you know, he said, as you have sent me, even so send I them. He was praying the Father. God sent him, anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power to do all these things. Well, he said, now I'm praying that, letting you know that you sent me, I'm turning around, I'm sending them. I was in his prayer. Then in John chapter 20, verse 21, he spoke directly to them. Not just prayer now. He now said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Glory to God. You can see the lineage now. See how it's working. Passing on from the Father to Christ, who now becomes a father in his own right, right? And gathers together many sons, because he didn't want to be alone, to share this glory with, share his throne with us, the glory, the inheritance that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be like us. Glory to God. One in Christ. Father, I thank you for this beautiful revelation. That we who are now in Christ are no longer foreigners or strangers. But you are now of the commonwealth of the household of living sides. In fact, more than that, we are called sons of God now. Thank you, Jesus. And that which the Father had, which he gave to Christ, Christ himself said, this commandment I have received of my Father to give unto you. Thank you, Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory from the Father to the children. The generation of Christ is revealed in those that believe him at the end of the age. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Well, it doesn't quite look like it just yet, but that's the devil's plan to make us give up because it doesn't look like it. But no, in the mind of God, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Behold, he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I make all things new. Even you, God makes you new. Make me new again, Lord. Make me over. It's a prayer that we should pray all the time. Lord, make me over. Let me experience a Holy Ghost makeover even on today. Praise the Lord. I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jeremiah went to the potter's house in Jeremiah 18, and he saw where the clay was marred in his hands, and he made it a new thing. The Holy Ghost makeover is here for you to experience it. Would you come to Christ today? And there may be churchgoers or people who have been attending church and doing all these things all your life, and you really haven't figured this thing out. God didn't call you to go to church. That's religion. God called you to be a son of God. Be like Christ. If you're in here today, I want you to come and take. Say, come and take of me. He that is athirst, come and take of the water of life freely. Glory to God. This water of life is flowing from Christ through you, even to others. Out of the belly of him that believeth, the same water that's flowing from Christ will flow from you, even to others. Thank you, Jesus. We receive this glory. We invite others to come and receive the glory. Now, if you would like to open up your heart to the Lord, or maybe you thought you knew, but you didn't really know, well, here's a great opportunity. Perhaps you've been going to church. Perhaps you've been coming to even this platform, but you really didn't get it. Well, this is the message of the gospel. I just preached it today. Praise the Lord. So come to Christ. He can cut that umbilical cord of sin away from you. He can put his spirit in you, commission you to be like him and represent him and be an agent of change. Bring others in. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And this is the generation of Jesus Christ that will receive it. The Lord bless everybody as you receive what he has planted in Christ, which Christ also has planted in us by his spirit. Same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead is now quickening us in Jesus' name. If you'd like to give your life to Christ for the first time, or there's something sparked in your heart today, you never really understood the gospel, perhaps until today. Now, I want you to yield your heart. You know, sometimes when people say, give your life to Christ, raise your hand. People are ashamed to do that. Well, if you are ashamed to raise your hand and say, I want to be identified, Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I also will be ashamed of you. I say, well, was I not said? No, I don't know you. That's being ashamed, denying, just like we were ashamed of him. So don't be ashamed of Christ. Praise the Lord. Is anybody that listening to this later on? Also, we invite you to turn your life over to Christ. We invite everybody that's in here, turn your life over to Christ. Get away from religion, which is just, you know, going to church, doing all these things, having these routines, which are good, but dangerous if we don't follow on to know the Lord. Today, come to Christ to receive the blessing that is passed from the Father to the children. Praise God. You know, at this point, I'm going to put a final blessing upon this room. I will yield my mic. Father, I bless this room in the name of the Lord. I bless anyone. If you are in the audience, you can raise your hand. I'm going to bless you too. You want to experience this thing that we're talking about here. Praise the Lord. Now, come to Christ. There's no other way. And those of you who are already in him, you want to go and experience this and understand this more, we invite you to also come. Praise the Lord. Come and experience what the Father wants you to have. Hallelujah. Come and experience Jesus in a new way. Glory to God. I pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of Him that raised Christ up from the dead. Let that grace come in you. Put that Spirit upon you. Quicken your mortal body. Cut that umbilical cord of sin away. And put you in a right standing with God. Now to become priests like Him. Subordinate priests under Him. Just like He is. Now a son of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.